Okay, good morning. Just a couple of announcements. First, for today's sponsor, for schus for a shidduch for Irene Bas Avram. She should find her shidduch Bekarov in the right time, along with all the rest of the boys and girls of Klal Yisrael. Someone already pointed out, they just wanted to announce that last week's shir is not yet on TorahAnytime.com. We have a lot of akars that type to TorahAnytime.com for all the shiurim, but I got a new computer, and the person who's supposed to give me the program was in Eretz Yisrael, so I did not yet upload yet last week's shir. So Bez Hashem, I'll be able to hopefully in the near future upload last week's and today's together. There was a discussion in regards to a shir next Tuesday, Bez Hashem, on Hanukkah. I'm available. I think a few people wanted to have the shir next week. I think Tuesday morning, YBH and Yeshiva Ketana, they're all on. Let me know. I'm available, and if you want to not do Bishul, you want to do some halachas of Hanukkah, perhaps something else, or you let me know. I'm able to continue. Okay, so today we are going to also have to talk to you as far as the Kidra Chaisa with the raw beans. We'll discuss. I spoke to Rabbi Sachs. So today, last week, we did the halachos of Shehiyah. Shehiyah was putting food on a fire, on a blech, on a crock pot, on a hot plate before Shabbos and leaving it there onto Shabbos. We had the blackboard, we had everything, and we got it very clear. Today, Bez Hashem, what we're going to discuss is the halachos of Chazara. Chazara means to return a pot to the fire, to return the pot to the fire, which means that it's on Shabbos, and you have a pot on a crock pot or a hot plate or on a fire, a blech, we'll discuss each and every situation, and you want to remove the pot from the heating element and then to put it back. Now, why would you take it off and put it back? Why are you taking it off and putting it back? Because, let's say you want to take some food out of the pot. Let's say you want to have some chont on Friday night, which is the standard situation, or you have some chont by the Suda, but you want to put it back for Shalosh Shudis, for the kids or something. We discussed in class number one, or class number two perhaps, I think class number one in the Halachos of Bishul, that you're not allowed to take, the Shulchan Aruch said, you're not allowed to take scoop out from a pot while it is on the fire, even if it's fully cooked. We discussed those Halachos as far as scooping out from the pot. So I want to take some chont Friday night, and of course I want to put it back on the hot plate or on the crock pot, so I have to take it off the fire, but I want to be able to put it back. So the halacha is that unless you have certain conditions, we're going to discuss those conditions, we do not let you take off the pot from the fire and put it back, unless you have certain conditions which we need to discuss. Why is this not allowed? Why don't we let you take it off and then put it back unless you have these conditions? So there's two reasons in the Rishayim and Mishnah Berurah why we do not let Chazara unless you have these certain conditions. Reason number one is what we call, as you all know from last week already, Shema Yechata. We are afraid that perhaps, similar to what we had the last week, that we're afraid that when you come back to the fire and put the pot back in the crock pot or back on the blech and things like that, we are afraid that you may raise the flame. When you take it off, when you take this pot off, it cools off. Obviously, when you take it off of the heating element, it's going to cool off a little bit. We are afraid that now when you come back and you want to put it back, we're afraid that you may raise the flame or stoke the coals in those days. That's what we are afraid of. Therefore, we have to make sure you have these conditions to permit such an act of taking off and putting back, because we are afraid you may raise the flame. Just to point out, those of you who were here last week, we had the opinion of Chananya, right? Chananya said that as far as placing things on the fire before Shabbos, then once it's already half cooked, you're good to go. You have nothing to worry about. Over here, it's more strict. You can't just say, oh, I don't have to worry about these conditions because it's half cooked anyways. Of course, Friday night, your chont is for sure half cooked. If you're taking from it, you know, it's for sure half cooked. Here, we don't have such a leniency of relying on Chananya, those who know what I'm talking about from last week. That's because over here, it's much more strict, because when you take it off, it cools off. Since it cools off, we are strict, even according to Chananya. Even Chananya would agree over here that you don't have this leniency. That's why we're going to need these conditions, even according to the opinion of Chananya. That is reason number one why we do not let such a thing. Reason number two is something also that you'll recognize from the halachos of Nesina L'Chadchila, which we discussed last week and previous classes, is what we call Mechzik HaMebashal, that it looks like you are cooking. It looks like you are cooking. It's Shabbos, you take off the pot, now you come back and you place it back on the blech, on the fire, on the crock pot, on the hot plate. That looks like you are cooking, unless you have these conditions, which we need to discuss. But, and also over here, it's even according to Hananya, because you're placing it here on Shabbos. Hananya was talking about before Shabbos. Either way, Hananya is not going to help us over here. But we have those two reasons. Perhaps you're going to raise the flame, and because it looks like you are cooking. So what are these conditions that you need to have in order to do Chazara? To take off the pot on Shabbos, a standard case on Friday night, take out some food, and then put it back. So there are five conditions. We'll call it five. There's going to be some more halachos, and they're going to be different than each other. But there are five conditions that are necessary to permit you to do chazara, to take off from the fire on Shabbos and put it back on Shabbos. Condition number one is garuf hakatum. We're not going to get into all the details about garuf hakatum because we discussed that at length last week. Garuf hakatum basically means that the garuf means the coals have to be removed, which is what we refer to as turning off the oven. If the oven is off, that's considered garuf. And katum means that all the coals were there, but they're still covered. But they're covered, which we'll discuss very quickly again with the crock pot and the hot plate and things like that. So condition number one that you must have to do chazara is garuf v'katum. So when we were discussing last week the halachos of shehiyah, of putting stuff on the fire before Shabbos, so we said if you rely on Hananya and it's halfway cooked, you don't need garuf v'katum. If there's a chance that you're going to take from your chon Friday night, anyways you need garuf v'katum, even according to Hananya, because you want to be able to put it back. This is condition number one, that it must be garuf v'katum. The crock pot needs to be lined with silver foil. The blech needs to be on top of the fire. Similarly, like we discussed last week, preferably the knob should be covered. According to our Baron Cutler, it's very important to have the knobs covered. Ramosha Feinstein said also very strongly that you really should have the knobs covered as well. And that is why we have the silver foil in the crock pot. You take out the crock pot, we'll discuss the other conditions. But you take off the lid, put down the lid, we'll discuss other conditions. You take out food. Here, the crock pot is lined.
It was fine before.
Yeah, right. Okay. It was covered before, I'm sure. Okay, it falls off. But then, no, it needs to be, you know, maintained. It has to be made sure that, you know, it stays on. It doesn't rip off when you come up. Some of it rips off. So this way, the crock pot is lined. This, we hold, is considered katum. That is why another reason why you need the silver foil in the crock pot. The rocks must have fell out at some point. We'll discuss that when we discuss Hatmana. It's not garuf, it's considered katum. All you need is garuf or katum.
Oh,
you need one garuf. Right, no, it's always referred to as garuf vikatum, but last week I made sure to say it clearly. You need either garuf or katum. That's condition number one, that it has to be either garuf or katum. We were discussing last week, we'll just say it again quickly, because I spoke to Rabbi Sachs, how many layers of silver foil do you need? So I told you that I don't think it needs to have four. I told you that for sure it can't be one. And Rabbi Shamazama said, kamapam, should it be two or three? I asked Rabbi Sachs, and I was very happy with what he answered me. And he told me that also, he said four, it doesn't need to be four layers. He said one is for sure not good enough. I said, okay, two or three, which one? You know, Rav Shlomo Zalman says kama pamim. He said, I don't know, one is for sure not good enough. So also I was very happy, because exactly what I told you, that you don't need four layers. One layer is definitely not good enough. You need two or three. Okay, maybe that's another. Heavy duty is enough with just one, right? Heavy duty is enough with just one. I forgot to ask him about the heavy duty, but as far as the regular, he also was hemming along between two and three. Maybe it's a new bar we could set for how frum somebody is. Do they have two layers or three layers? You could,
it's a shidduch question.
A shidduch question, exactly. You know, this is my mechatenis to have two layers or three layers. Fine. But that's as far as the crock pot, and the oven needs an insert. When it comes to an oven, as far as chazara in an oven, so many paiskim, I promise you I'll get back to you about this, and I looked it up, and Rav Moshe Feinstein said that there's another condition, which is not one of the five conditions, but besides putting back into an oven that is still on, many paiskim say that that is not allowed. If the oven is on, to put the food in the oven on Shabbos, even if it was already in the oven, you took it out, you took some food out of it, and you put it back in, many places can say that is not allowed if the oven is
but
on.
Didn't we only discuss that in terms
and
of if it's a Shabbos mode?
We didn't discuss Shabbos mode. We discussed Shabbos modes after the class, but Shabbos mode, we weren't sure how that helped at all. But quite possibly, this is usher, for sure if it's on, but quite possibly this is usher, even if the oven is off. even if the oven is off, that's considered garuf. It could be besides another issue. Rav Moshe Feinstein and others say that's not allowed to put it in the oven on Shabbos if the oven is hot. If the oven is not, Yatzal Adesbo, it won't reach 110, then it's okay. But many places can say that inside an oven, it's what we call toch. It's called inside. Nothing to do with hatmona. Hatmona is not a problem in an oven. But as far as toch, you're not allowed to put something in an oven. It's only allowed on top. So the question is, are ovens, is that considered inside or is it different than the previous ones? Really, things should not be placed in an oven on Shabbos. Last week we were discussing before Shabbos and leaving it there. But as far as putting it in the oven on Shabbos, many places can say that would not be allowed. So that should really, really be avoided. That is condition number one as far as garuf or katum. You need either garuf or katum to be condition number one. Condition number two is to do chazara, the food needs to be fully cooked. The food needs to be fully cooked. So again, we discussed last week with Hanani and half cooked. Over here, to put it back on Shabbos, the food needs to be fully cooked. So when you take from your chont Friday night, all the beans, you have to make sure that all the beans are considered cooked. And fully cooked, meaning you'd be able to eat it without hesitating, you'd be able to eat it. It could still get more geschmack if it stays on in the crock pot for longer, but it has to be fully cooked. And the place can tell us that if it's not fully cooked, then it's bishul mederaisa. Right? We discussed this in class number one, that if something is Michael ben Drusoy already, but you make it to fully cooked, that is bishul mederaisa. That is us according to Torah law. So therefore, if you have a doubt, anytime we have a doubt in regards to Torah law, you have to be strict. So if you're not sure if all the beans are cooked, you know, you put up your chont a little bit late this Friday, so you're not sure Friday night, you want to have some chont, and you know, some of the beans are maybe not fully cooked, you should not be taking that chont off of the crock pot and to put it back. Because if you put it back, if it's not fully cooked, that is bishul mederaisa. So that is condition number two, that the food needs to be 100% fully cooked. Number three is that the food needs to be still hot. The food needs to be still hot. I take it off. If I take it off for 1 minute and I quickly take out some chont into a bowl or some chicken soup into a bowl and then I want to put the chicken soup back on the fire or on the blech, not on the fire, but on the blech because that's the katum, so then it has to be fully cooked and it has to be still hot. If you're doing it for only a minute or two, of course, it's still going to be hot. So a lot of times this is not sonogeya. How long are you going to take it off the fire for? We'll see some situations where maybe nogeya. But those are the first three conditions. Has to be either garuf or katum. Number two, it has to be fully cooked. And number three, that the food needs to be still warm, even by solids. Right? We discussed in previous classes as far as liquids, right? Liquids that cool off, we said that is a problem of bishul. Because we said that once it cools off by liquid, then the original cooking is gone. So there you can't put it back on a fire, or even on a blech, because that's considered cooking. Over here, even by solids, the solids need to be still warm. The chont, even if it's a dried out chont or it's a shum schnitzel or something, has to be still warm in order to put it back on the fire on Shabbos. Those are very simple. Those are the first three conditions. What gets exciting is the fourth and the fifth. The fourth condition, as you all know, is what we call odan biyado, that the pot still needs to be in your hands. You still need to be holding onto the pot. Now, no questions on the odan biyado. Can we just close the door? Is that possible? Thanks. It still needs to be odan biyado, and we're going to discuss, we're not going to take any questions on this condition until we finish everything I need to say on this condition, because there's a few different halachos. What do I say when it means that the pot still needs to be in the hand? This means to the exclusion of the ground or the floor, that if you put the pot on the floor or on the ground, whatever, let's say it's outdoors or something and it's an Eruv, if it's on the ground and you leave go of the pot, then that means that you did not have this condition number four. You put it on the ground. That is very simple and it's also not so common. Let's say, the Mishnah Berurah says, Rishayim, that not only if you put it on the ground is it considered no longer in your hand, but also if you put it on a chair or a bed or something that's a little bit odd, you know, to put the pot of food on, the crock pot or the chicken soup, you put it on some type of chair and you leave go, that is also considered as if now you left go and you do not have condition number four anymore. Let's say, which I know you're waiting for me to say, let's say I put it on a chair, but I'm still holding on to it. So it's not exactly on the chair, but it's not exactly in my hand. It's not like I'm holding it exactly. It's on the chair. We'll talk about counters and tables in a moment. But it's on the chair, but I'm still holding on to it. what is the halacha over there? So basically what comes out, it's a big, big discussion in all the way down to the Paiskim of nowadays. What basically comes out is that if it's on the floor or the ground, then even if it's you're holding it still in your hands and someone else is scooping out, and we say you cannot be lenient in such a situation. It's mamish on the floor, even though you're holding it in your hand, we say that's not good enough. But if it's on a chair or something like that, so then we are allowed to be lenient if you're holding onto it still, but it's laying on, it's resting on a chair, there we say you are allowed to be lenient, if it's still in your hand. That is in regards to a crock pot on a chair. Let's say the standard situation is, at least in my house when we take chill on Friday night, is it's not on the chair, but it's on the counter, or it's on a table. What's the halachic status of a table or a counter in regards to this fourth condition? So it's a huge machlokes in the Paiskim nowadays. There are those that say, Rabbi Zalman Orbach, Rabbi Yashiv, I checked it up again, and if I'm understanding them correctly, I checked it up again this morning at 9:05, just to make sure again, but they seem to say that even if you leave go, if it's on the counter, they say you could be lenient. That's not considered as if it's on the ground. Again, because we have the two extremes. You're still holding it in the air, in your hands, and another extreme is that it's on the floor. But now we have all these gray areas in between. Let's say I left go, but it's on the counter. So many Paiskim are lenient. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rabbi Yashiv, Nissen Karelitz, and they say that that's not a problem. That's not a lack of condition number four if it's sitting on the counter. However, other Paiskim, Rabbi Vosner and others, Dalitzian, they say that no, the counter is considered like the floor. If you leave go and you leave it on the counter and you leave go, then that's considered as if it is on the floor. They say because it's normal. Let's say by Shabbos day, when I put it on, when I take it out and I leave it out, where do I put it? I put it on the counter. That's normal. So they say you have to be strict. You can't put it on the counter and leave go. So, like I've told you many, many times, I'm not here to paskin between, you know, the Gedalia Paiskim. I'm here to bring you the Tzadim. You have plenty of Paiskim that say that you could leave it on the counter and just leave go. So therefore, obviously, preferably, I think that's the minig of the world. I know that's what we do in our house, that even if we take it out Friday night and just put it on the counter, we still make sure to hold on to the pot. Even though there are some Paiskim that seem to say you could totally leave go. But we have other Paiskim that say, no, if it's on the counter, definitely you should preferably still try to hold on to it. We still need to discuss, let's say you don't. Let's say for whatever reason you don't, can I go put it back? Talking about all right now, lechilchila, what you should preferably do to have condition number four, for sure it's the best to hold it in the air, or if we have it on the counter, to hold on to it with your hand. The Paiskim say you're allowed to hold on to it with one hand and scoop with the other hand. The lid you could put down. It seems, I didn't see anyone say that the lid you still have to hold. But you could scoop with the other hand, you could trade it, you could be holding it and then you pass it to somebody else's hand. You could switch hands in the middle, you have one and then you switch hands in the middle, as long as you have the hand on it at some point, or if you could hold it in one hand or if it's resting on the counter, that we stay still completes condition number four. You had a question?
The Paiskim who say it's like the floor, on the floor it's not good enough to hold it. So why would they allow it?
Well, they say that if you leave go, then we're going to give it the din of the floor.
Uh-huh.
Right, but if you hold on to it, then we say, you know, you'd be allowed to be more lenient. Meaning it's for sure, even according to them, they say that it's still not as strict, mamish, as the floor. As the Gemara says, this is also, it's all over there, right after the sugya of Shehiyah. You could, I don't know if any of you spoke to your husbands and learning about the Daf Yomi, but the Gemara says the karka. The Gemara says the ground. The question is, what does the counter have a dinner? But it's for sure not exactly like the ground. The question is, do we have to be strict? That is condition number four. Condition number five is, as you all know, that you need to have daita lachzira. You have to have in mind that you are going to return it. You have to have in mind that you are going to return it. May I take off the chum Friday night, and obviously I want to put it back because I need the chum for tomorrow. So you should be having in mind when you take it off that I want to put it back. If you take it out and you're not going to put it back, that's it, I'm taking it out now for good. And then you realize, you know what, oh man, there's so much left over, I might as well put it back and have it for Shalosh Shudis. And I have it back, maybe we'll want some chum later this afternoon, or for whatever reason you change your mind, then that means you did not have condition number five. We'll discuss what happens. Let's say I don't have condition number five. Can I still put it back? We'll discuss each and every situation. But as far as the chetchila, to get condition number five means that from the beginning you have to have in mind to put it back. there's certain situations where, let's say, for example, the fire goes out by itself. Let's say you have a chont on a blech, and you have the fire underneath, and you come home, and you realize, oi, the fire is off. So now, if the fire is off, that's as if the pot of food was taken off the fire. Now, obviously, you didn't have in mind to put it back, right? The fire just went out by itself. You didn't have anything in mind. You just came home from shul or something, and you realize the fire is off. So, is that a problem of daita lachzira? So, that's a tremendous discussion in the Paiskim. And it seems that since you didn't have specific in mind to remove it from the fire just went off by itself, then we say that's not considered a lack of conditions number 4 and number 5. Of course, the pot is not still in your hands, right? Fire just went out by itself. So, but the place can say, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others, they explain, Rav Scheinberg and Rav Kivager and others, or Moshe Feinstein, they say that that's not considered a lack of conditions number 4 or 5 because you didn't specifically leave go. You didn't specifically take it off with the intention not to put it back. You didn't have anything in mind. It just went off by itself. So they were able to say that that's not considered a lack of number 4 and 5 if you come home and you realize, oh, the fire went out. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I think we were discussing this last week after the class, if you see it's dangerous, you know, the gas knob is on, but the fire is off, so that's considered dangerous. So we say you're allowed to shut it off, even though it's muksa, but we'll let you do one quick Issa D'Rabbanan of muksa in order to prevent any chas v'shalom, any damage that could happen. He says the best is to turn it off like with a shinui, with the back of your fingers, but that will be allowed in such a situation.
So that's also like with a brownout, when the power goes out and comes right back on.
Right, it's
so
a brownout. Right. Yeah,
on,
so
it
went
it
out,
still
right,
it.
Right, right. But keep in mind, for these halachos, for it's still missed. It's not considered that you're missing conditions 4 or 5. It needs to still have the first 3 conditions. So if the fire went out and you see that the pot of food is not warm anymore, or, well, it's not going to become uncooked, or, but if it was at a point in time when it had not been fully cooked, or it's sitting directly on the fire, let's say you relied on Chananya, you put it there before Shabbos, and you relied on Chananya, it's already half cooked, but it's not Gara Fakatum, right? You didn't have a blech, you had it directly on a pot, directly on the fire, so even if it's still warm, but it wasn't on Gara Fakatum, then you are missing those three conditions. The first 3 conditions, those you have to still have. But as far as conditions 4 and 5, it's not considered as if you were lacking conditions 4 and 5.
I'm sorry. If the flame goes out onto the blech, then what are you returning to?
Let's say you have another flame.
Okay.
Let's say one of the flames went out.
Let's say your crock pot goes out. It died.
Right.
And you notice that it's Shabbos. It's still hot.
And your neighbor.
Can you take it? And you have your blech on.
Right.
Can you put it on your blech?
Right. So if you have the blechs and you have the garfa katum, if it's still warm and it's fully cooked, then you'd be allowed. Then we say you'd be allowed to do it. Or if your neighbor, you're eating at 1 o'clock and they already finished their suda, so they already have their crock pot, their cylinder is out of the crock pot, and you hold of the eruv, so you could take it from this one and bring it to somebody else's house. You could bring it to somebody else's blech. Or like you said, if you have a blech in the...
Even though it would cool off by the time you got to the house?
It won't cool off. It's still a warm food. Uh-huh. It's still considered as if warm. You would still eat it as a warm dish. Then we say that you still have those first 3 conditions.
Can you make a blech on Shabbos? Can you put the blech on?
We said that last week. You weren't here last week. We said, according to our Moshe Feinstein and many others, you're allowed to put a blech on Shabbos. Of course, you can't turn on the fire. You can't raise the fire. But we said that you are allowed. Chazon Ish said no, but Moshe Feinstein said and others that you're allowed to put a blech there on Shabbos. Okay, that's why you were asking about Gar Fakatum. That makes sense. Okay, very important to discuss. Now we discuss these 5 conditions. Let's say you have a situation where you're missing some of these conditions. You are missing some of these conditions. Again, when the fire went out by itself, we said that's not considered as if you're missing conditions 4 and 5. But let's say a situation where you are missing conditions 4 and 5. You take the chant out, and you left go, and you had no intention of putting it back, but you decide, you know what, let me go put it back. Or you left go and by mistake. So let's discuss a few of those situations. The first 3 conditions are ma'akev no matter what. The first 3 you always have to have. It has to be fully cooked, it has to be garf or katum, and it has to be still warm. But as far as the other 2 conditions, there we can be a little bit lenient in the following situations. Let's say by mistake you left go of the pot, right? You're holding on to it and you tell your child or you tell your husband, make sure you don't leave go, right? Your husband doesn't know the halachas, you know the halachas. So you're telling him, make sure that you leave go, make sure you don't leave go, and then by mistake, you know, it slips from your hand, and it's not in your hand anymore. Or, if or you didn't realize that that's talacha, certain situations where you don't have Aydin B'yaday anymore. So there, the Paiskim say that, the Mishnah Berurah says, so you lost condition number four. We say in situations where you really need to, you are allowed to be lenient. If you're missing the Odan B'yado, if it's an Esat Sorech, if you need this food to put back, if it's Friday night and this is your challenge and you need it, of course, for tomorrow, so then that's considered an Esat Sorech, a time that you really need. And if for whatever reason somehow you are missing this Odan B'yado, you are missing condition number four, then we say you are allowed to be lenient. The reason why, you don't have to write this down, you don't have to listen if this is going to confuse you, but it happens to be there is one opinion that the Rama brings, it's from the Ran, that if you take off the food on Shabbos, which is what we're talking about this whole time, right? You took it off Friday night to take some chont, then you don't need any conditions. You don't need any conditions. All the sugyas of Chazara is only if you take it off before Shabbos and you want to put it back on Shabbos. So we have that opinion to rely on anyways. So in a case where you're missing Odin Biyado, we are allowed to rely on that. And if you missed Odin Biyado, we say, if you need to, then Bidi Eved, you are allowed to put it back. So too, by the opposite. Let's say it's still in your hand, but you didn't have in mind to put it back. And then you change your mind. You know what? Oh, let me go put it back. I'll put it back for Shalosh Shudis. Also as well, Bidi Eved over here, you are allowed to go put it back. This is because of a Rambam. The Rambam says you don't need at all, ever, to have in mind to put it back. So we don't pass him like that. But in a situation, Bidi Eved, where you didn't have in mind to put it back, and now you realize, oh yeah, I do want to put it back. So we say that Bidi Eved, you are allowed to go ahead and put it back. Besides, just to keep in mind that in many situations, most of the time, when you are missing one or two of these conditions, you're missing either Eidim B'yaday or you're missing Dayat Al-Hach, so we'll talk about it in a second if you're missing both, but if you're missing those conditions, if it's on your counter, which we said before, anyways, there are plenty of places that seem to say, totally, if you left go on the counter, as far as Odin B'yado for sure, that if you put it on your counter and you totally left go, we said that some paiskim, you don't have to worry about it at all. So for sure, if it just slips from your hand, or you didn't realize the halacha, then anyways, we say you would be allowed to put it back on Shabbos. But for sure over here, if it slipped from your hand or you didn't realize, then we say you'd be allowed to put it back.
Let's say you're someplace where it's not covered with silver foil, you know it's for sure, you see it.
Right.
And then the person tells you, oh, my kids love to eat the challah Shabbos morning for breakfast, da da da. So she took it out. And
right, you asked me about this a few weeks ago, right? You were in someone's house for Shabbos?
Yeah.
Right.
So then what?
So here was a situation, tell me again, where they were missing both conditions 4 and 5, right?
Oh,
they're missing even Garfa Katum? So missing Garfa Katum, so... In all cases, I was going to get to it soon, but I might as well say it now. I was going to say it anyways. In any situation where, if you remember, we discussed in either class 2 or 3 on Bishul, that let's say you do something be'isser on Shabbos. You cook in a forbidden way on Shabbos. So we discussed certain situations are b'di'eved, you're allowed to eat the food. Right? You check up your notes, or if you stam, you remember if it was by mistake, if it was on purpose, if it was for you or for other people. Over here, and we said a halacha back then, that if it's something that there is an opinion that it's totally permitted, even if we don't, you should be writing this, because I was going to say this anyway. I'm not going to ask it on the test maybe, but if it's an opinion, if there is an opinion that what I did is permitted, even if we don't paskin like that, then b'di eved, you're allowed to eat it. Again, something about cooking or anything on Shabbos, on the halachas of Shabbos, at least by Bishul, that if there is an opinion that says that what was done is permitted, so then even if we don't paskin like that, so for sure you shouldn't have done it, but if it was done already, then we say you are b'di eved allowed to eat it.
But it's never permitted.
So over here, like we said before, we have the Ran is of the opinion that any time we have these halachos, all these conditions, is not talking about where you took it off the fire on Shabbos. If you took it off the fire on Shabbos, you don't have to have garfa katum, you don't have to have, maybe mevusha katarcha, he says you don't have to have, but you don't have to have in mind, you don't have to be holding on to it. The Ran holds that this is only if you took it off before Shabbos and put it back on Shabbos. Now that's a very rare situation. You take it off the fire before Shabbos to feed your kids, and then you put it back on Shabbos after you bench lift. Not a very common situation. But the Ran says that the whole sugya of Chazar is only by there. We don't paskin like that Ran. But the Ramah does bring it. So therefore, in your question, the answer is it is totally permitted to eat. Because the Bir Halacha says clearly that that all these questions of what the Mishnah Berurah discusses, b'di'eved, he says, this is only if it's forbidden according to all opinions. If there is some opinion that it's mutter, then b'di'eved you're allowed to eat it. And the place can say, that's where the Bir Halacha stops, but the place can say that therefore, by Chazara, you almost always have a situation where you are allowed to eat it b'di'eved. If you yourself did it, for sure, if you're in somebody else's house that did it, so it's considered for Acherim, then you'd be allowed to eat it by Chazara. So that's one leniency. I had you in mind when I was going to get to those halachas to turn to you to tell you that that'll be the answer to that question that you asked me. Yeah.
So
does that make you feel better?
Yeah.
Because you probably ate it anyway. You probably.
I'm saying there it's lots of,
you go to people's houses, right. So as far as Chazara issues, b'di'eved, you're allowed to eat it.
I don't know who you would ask, but my babysitter, I walked out of the room for a second and my babysitter lifted, like it was still on the crock pot.
Okay.
Shabbos had just started. She lifted the lid and scooped out a thing of challah for my baby and put the lid back down. And it was still on the fire.
Was it fully cooked?
Fully cooked.
So then b'di'eved you could eat it. We discussed that. If it's fully cooked, so...
Even though it's stirring it on the fire?
If it's stirring it on the fire, so definitely we said l'chadchila, that should not be done. But if it's fully cooked, there was an opinion that that would be permitted. So okay. Definitely you shouldn't do it, but...
Where did she feel there?
If it's fully cooked, page... Okay, I'm rushing now. Okay. Let me look up the exact opinion again. But I'm pretty sure that if it's fully cooked, we don't pass them like that, but there was an opinion that that would be permitted, so b'di'eved, you'd be allowed to eat it. Let's say you're missing both conditions 4 and 5. In your situation, you're missing the item b'yada, it's not in your hand, and you don't have in mind. So what we were discussing a second ago is if you're ready, put it back, can you eat it b'di'eved? But now I'm talking about the step before that. You're missing conditions number 4 and number 5. And then you realize, oh, you know what? I want to put it back. Can I go put it back? So over there, the Rama says that in such a situation, he says, it's good to be machmir. It's good to be machmir. So what the Mishnah Berurah and others come out, what they say is that based on that, that if you really, really need to, then we say you are allowed to be lenient. So again, we're talking about where you took the crock pot out, you left go, you didn't have in mind to put it back, so you have both, you were missing both conditions 4 and 5, so now you change your mind, you want to be able to put it back for Shalosh Shudas, so we'll only let you do that, okay, it's only on the counter, but still, you know, preferably you should only be allowed to do that if you really, really need to. Let's say all of a sudden you realize you're having tons of guests for Shalosh Shudas, or it's Friday night and you didn't have in mind to put it back, or the person who did it didn't have in mind to put it back, in a situation where you're missing both numbers 4 and 5, so there we will let if you really, really need to. But in a standard situation, let's say you take some chalent out of the pot Friday night and you take it out, someone wanted chalent Friday night and it's just one bowl of chalent, one plate of chalent, and you weren't going to put it back, you thought the person was going to eat it, and the person says, no, what do you mean, I don't want to eat it, so can I pour this bowl of chalent back into the pot? So that should not be done. That should not be done because it's one bowl, it's one plate of chalent, one little bowl of chalent. What's the big deal if you're not going to put it back? That's not considered a major need. So then, even if it's still hot, but that should not be done. If it's your entire pot, or if it's an entire pot of chicken soup and you need to really put it back, you need to warm it up, or let's say like that, like chicken soup, you need to put it back on the fire, you don't really need to, fine. So it'll be lukewarm. By the time the men come home, let's say your kids wanted food, you took it off, and you didn't have those things in mind, and you left go, and you didn't have in mind, and you realize, I want to be able to put it back on the fire, on the blech, this way when the men come home from shul later, I'll be able to, you know, have the chicken soup very hot. So fine, so then you have to know, you know, I mean, if your husband is so picky that has to be, you know, boiling hot soup, we'll talk about the halachas of Atmana next week, next year, Be'ez Hashem. But so then, is that considered a really, really need? Each and every situation needs to be discussed separately. Let's say by mistake you took off the wrong pot. You took off the wrong pot. You come to your blech. A lot of people have chont on a crock pot. But let's say you have the chont on the blech and you have a pot of chicken soup on the blech. And the pots look very, very similar to each other. So Friday night, you want to take the chicken soup off of the blech and you want to put it on the counter and you're going to leave go. You're not going to put it back and you take it off. You leave go. You go get your ladle. You open up the pot of chicken soup and lo and behold, it's really the pot of chont. So now what am I going to do? I need to put it back, but I was missing both of these conditions. So again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and others Rav Scheinberg and others, they say that that would also be allowed because you are missing both of them. And over here, for sure, you even took off the wrong pot. Quite possibly that your machshava was not even considered a bad machshava, because I didn't have, even though I physically took it off on purpose, but since I thought it was the wrong pot, then for sure we say you are allowed to be lenient. If that ever happens, we say that you are allowed to go ahead and put it back and then go ahead and take off the correct pot. So we have many, many situations where you have to, you should really be doing conditions 4 and 5, but we've said already a number of situations where if by mistake you don't have it, it's definitely not a cause to, you know, shalom bayis and start, you know, getting upset at people in the house, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't have in mind. We have situations where the eved, you will be allowed to put it back, and we said also that even if someone does put it back, be'isser, then you are allowed to eat it. One other case that we need to talk about, which we did talk about in the first or the second class, but I promised you I would get back to it, so here let's get back to it again. And this is the following, and this touched upon something that we were just talking about a second ago. All these situations there is where I'm talking about where I'm taking it off a heating element and I put it back in the same place. I put it back in the same crock pot on the same blech. Let's say the Gemara wants to know, can I take it from heating element A and put it to heating element B? Right? We just touched upon this. We were talking about putting it by your friend's crock pot. Or, like your case, where not even in your friend's, when you say the crock pot went out by mistake and then you want to put it to your blech. So the Gemara wants to know, is that the same halachos? Is that the same halachos as chazara? That it's mutter with all the conditions, as long as you have all the conditions that it's permitted? Or do we say that, no, this is worse? And since it's a new place, as far as this pot is concerned, it's considered a new place, then do we say that's already problem number two of Mechsik Mavash, that it looks like you're putting it for the first time, do we say this is more strict or not? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, they don't know. The Gemara leaves it unresolved. They're not sure if this is considered permitted like Chazara with all the conditions, or is this considered more strict? So how do we pass? And the Gemara says, they're not sure. So the Shaar Tzion, which is the Chafetz Chaim, says that we are allowed to be lenient. Says you are allowed to be lenient. You still need those conditions. You'll have the Bidyevid cases of conditions 4 and 5. But for sure, the first three conditions you still need. You need to put it to a place that's Garuf or Katum. But we say that the Shaar Tzion and others of Shama Zalman Orbach, we said, and others, you are allowed to be lenient in such a situation because of a combination of reasons. The reason why we brought this up back then, which was in the Nageya to Hagasa, was we said if you come downstairs Shabbos morning and you see that your chont is burnt out, so you want to add water to your chont. So the water has to be hot already, of course. You can't put cold water into a crock pot on Shabbos. But let's say I have an urn, and the water in the urn is hot. Can I put it into my crock pot or not? This is exactly that situation. It's on heating element A. I'm taking it off heating element A, the water, on Shabbos, and I'm putting it onto heating element B. So the Shaar Tzion says this is allowed. However, you have to make sure of other halachos. First of all, you have to make sure that if the crock pot will make the water reach 212 degrees, then you have to be positive that in your urn, the water already reached 212 degrees at some point. I saw that Simcha Ibn Kohn says that most crockpot, most urns don't make it reach 212 degrees. I was surprised when I saw that. I discussed with Rabbi Sachs all the urns. We'll discuss that if I remember exactly what he told me. But that's one thing you have to for sure be careful about. That if the urn made it to 212 degrees at some point, then you are allowed to put it into the crockpot. However, we said that the crockpot should preferably be taken off out of the cylinder, even if they happen to be right next to each other, you know, that you could bend it and do it directly in, you should preferably take it out, because when the water goes in, that's considered like mixing it, and you shouldn't mix it when it's still on the heating element. So you should take it out, and you can put it directly into into the crock pot. However, we all know, and Mrs. Glumbeck called out on the phone, that it's a problem of the zeya, the steam coming up. So if you don't care about making your urn fleishik, so fine, then you could do that. But if you're concerned, you want to have coffee, you want to put milk in it, so then you could put from your cup, you could take from the urn into a cup and put the cup, pour from the cup into the crock pot when the crock pot is out of the cylinder. That is this case of chazara, and the Shaar Tzion says you are allowed to be mekel. Of course, your crock pot needs to have the silver lining and the silver foil lining, and it needs to be fully cooked because you're taking it off and you're going to be putting it back, and the water itself, it's fully cooked and it's still warm, and obviously you're still holding it, and your das is to put onto it.
It's okay to pour back from a klirishon back into if you pour it into a middle cup.
So that's not an issue. Someone asked that when we discussed that last time. The only times klisheni is considered less powerful than a kli rishon is when it has, we're talking about its power to cook something else. But over here, this was a water that was fully cooked before. It got 212 degrees already. It's taken to a klisheni, but obviously it's still hot. We said as long as it's not cooled off totally, then you could still cook it again. You could put it back into a kli rishon. So of course it's not cooled off totally. It's not cooled off at all. We know physically it's not cooled off at all, just since the walls are cool, so it loses its power to cook something else. But it still is very hot. So that's why it's not a problem to put it from a kli sheni. You could put it into kli shlishi, kli revi, and then put it into the crock pot, because it's still hot. It's still warm, very warm. And then that's why you're allowed to put it in. Okay, I think that covers, I mean, it's incredible. You guys, I mean, I don't know if you guys realize how big the sugya of Chazara is. We just, you know, did the whole thing in 45 minutes. I mean, but this is, I think, the basic halacha and practical halacha of what we need to know in far as Chazara. Really, all we have left for the halachas of Bishul is the halachas of Hatmana, which Bez Hashem, you know, again, like we said, as far as Hanukkah, we're able to do that Bez Hashem next week, the halachas of Hatmana. Assuming, you know, Bez Hashem we'll be able to. We'll see if we could do Hatmana in 1 week. What we need to discuss is, okay, if we could do Hatmana in 1 week, we need to discuss Bez Hashem, what we'll have the schus of doing after Bishul is over. Perhaps you'll let me know. I would be interested in doing it if to do one class, one crash course class on all of Bishul. Meaning we had about 7 classes of Bishul, a bomb review of everything we've learned. Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, Shihi Hatmana, Chazara, Michael Ben Jusser, Yad Saladas by Dover Gush, everything, all in one 45-minute class. You could take notes, or you could just like fly through your pages as we go. I think it would be beneficial for myself as well to just have like one crash course Chazara, no pun intended for Chazara. But you let me know if you'd rather just do other halachos, definitely. And as far as what to do afterwards, I have a few suggestions. We could talk about that separately as well.
What number class is today?
Sorry?
What number class?
I think today is number 6. I think today is number 6.